Hey everybody, it's George Wooden from BW Unlimited Charity Fundraising, your charity fundraising one-stop shop. North America's number one charity fundraising firm in the United States, offering everything from event management to auctioneers, and then mainly auction items, travel packages, and everything else. Also, I am your premier benefit auctioneer. Today, we're going to start the playbook. This is episode number one, the fundraising playbook. We're going to teach you everything you want to know, could possibly know, want to know more, or stuff that you've never even heard of before. So stay tuned, do me a favor, subscribe, hit share, show your friends, and hit the alert button, because I got a lot coming to you. Today, number one, first off, my brother from another mother, I want to welcome him, my buddy, Charlie Jones. Charlie, how are you?
I'm great, man. Thank you for, first of all, for letting me be the first person on episode number one, which is super exciting, and honestly, for your friendship over the years, I appreciate it.
We've been friends for a long time, and honestly, Charlie, as you know, because I've been bugging you about this for a month, Charlie's the reason why I'm doing this, because he started his own Armed and Successful. In fact, if you're into the 2A space, you got to tune in to his podcast and watch him on. Tell him your Instagram tag.
So my IG is real_lordofwar. You can find everything you'd ever want to know, and some things you don't, on my Instagram.
Fantastic. Absolutely, in the 2A space, he's the man, the myth, the legend when it comes to there. So, Charlie, really, so, you know, thanks a million for coming on and for your friendship. Just give everybody a background about who you are, what you do, and where you came from, and everything else.
So, the long story short, the boring and the exciting, retired law enforcement officer, just like George here in Maryland. George was state police. I was Anne Arundel County. Left with nothing, started with nothing, and now I'm one of the largest wholesalers of ammunition in the country. I'm a serial entrepreneur. We have MB Studio Productions, as well as Armed and Successful, which is a podcast, a brand, and now a studio that will be coming to your screen very, very soon.
My wife and I have every shirt. I got to get that. Now, yesterday I saw you wearing a black one. Today I've seen you wearing a green one. I'm coming down there. I need to get some shirts, some more hoodies. Armed and Successful. My wife and I have them. In fact, we went recently and saw Charlie, and we got our concealed carry permit. We're here in Maryland as business owners, and I highly suggest if you're in Maryland or around Maryland, go see Charlie. The other thing too is this. I want to touch on this because this has to do with fundraising too, right, Charlie? Mm-hmm. How to be successful. Now Charlie is like myself. You know, we own seven companies: BW Limited Charity Fundraising and the Premier Benefit Auctioneer is just two of those. Charlie is involved in everything. He's got his hands in everything. In regards to even having a charity or fundraising or anything else, or being a business owner, an entrepreneur, what is your idea of success? What does it take to be successful at anything?
I think the number one thing that I tell everybody, and I really live by, I even posted about it this morning. The biggest way to be successful is by expanding your network. Your network is your net worth. You can have $0 in the bank, but $1 million worth of friends. And if you have that, you can always earn money. And the second thing, and honestly should be the first thing too, is it's more important once you start making money. It's less important about the dollar, but more important about where it comes from. So again, it all comes back to your network.
I can't agree with you more. In fact, I always tell people that making money from something you love, because you know I love doing what I'm doing, charity fundraising, absolutely, and everything else. Money, because I don't concentrate on that. I'm concentrating on our clients and making sure they're successful. Money comes as a byproduct. If you're not focused on money, if you chase money, you're never going to catch it.
Yeah.
Right. So good point. Same with what we're talking about, fundraising. So I just want to touch real quick. Why were the fundraising playbook? Well, here's what happened. So first, I called it something, this podcast, something else, because this is episode number one. Called it something else, and then I got an email and a phone call saying, you better change your name, because I'm going to sue you. So I said, no problem. So I called a very good friend of mine. Shout out, I'm going to say this right here, to UGA. My friends down in Georgia, Augusta especially.
Go Dogs.
In fact, I told you yesterday that we're doing a monster fundraiser down there in May. For law enforcement, it's probably 1,000 people at the Augusta Marriott.
Nice.
So for Christians, a charity called Christians Touch, really, really, really incredible charity. So I called my buddy Pat Cullinan down there in Augusta, and I said, hey, you know, this just happened. And I couldn't get you on the phone, Charlie. I called him and I said, this just happened. What did he, and I said, what do you think? He said, well, you and your wife always talk about your playbook, your fundraising playbook. If people would just follow your fundraising playbook, they would be successful just like we were and everything else. So that's why it's called fundraising playbook. So let's talk, if you don't mind. Again, I don't want to talk about my company and about me. What I want to talk about is you, everything you know, everything you've experienced. Several months ago, we did an event for you. Could you tell everybody about the event that you
held? So we did an event called Cure for Cameron. For those of you guys that don't know or maybe do know, my wife is from Trinidad and Tobago, and she has a cousin through her family that has acute lymphoblastic leukemia, which is ALLS, and has been suffering with it for his entire life. He was 19 years old. So we brought him here to the U.S. in hopes of finding a cure, which we're really working for towards right now. I mean, by God's grace and honestly, your help. So we did this event called Cure for Cameron. I reached out to George. I said, hey, listen, I want to do this event. I know it's crazy because there's only a little bit of time. And as sure as anything, you said, listen, you don't have much time. But if you grind and you listen to exactly what I tell you to do, you'll be successful. And we were because of your help.
Well, I appreciate that. It was an incredible event. You had a lot of people there, some really great sponsors. And it couldn't have gone any better. And I've seen Cameron several times at your office, and I'm glad to see he's doing well and everything else is going great. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
So let's, throughout the, from the beginning all the way through the end and then post-event, the one thing that I want to do with this, Charlie, like you know me, right? So I'm the reality of charity fundraising guy. Because there's a lot of, there's another podcast, a couple other people out there, a couple other entities out there that love to talk to well-established charities who've been holding fundraising events as a corporation, because charities can be a corporation. They have charity, you know, chapters all over the place. Extremely well-established. They weren't like you, right? In fact, as you know, most of my clients are like you. They've never done a fundraising event, or they've only done a couple, and they really need to help turning it up. I don't want to focus on that, because that's easy. That's like picking the low-hanging fruit when you're talking to somebody who's always been doing fundraising, who understands it at a corporate level. What I want to talk about is to regular people who are have a charity. They opened up a charity either a few years ago, or just opened it up, or they've been doing fundraising events for a while, and they're not successful. So what I'd like to talk to you about is the good, the bad, and the ugly. And let's be real about it, because I want people to learn from what you've been through and everything else. So in the beginning, tell me what you thought was going to happen in your event.
Well, I mean, what I thought is the same thing that everybody thinks, kind of honestly, when you start a business. Hey, I'm doing a charity event, so everybody's going to want to be involved. It's not the truth. The truth is, and we talked about this many, many times, including with somebody we both know recently, people have to be excited about you and what you're doing, because the charity event, they're a dime a dozen, literally a dime a dozen. There's millions of charities out there. I'm probably misquoting, but I'm sure there is, or millions of ideas about charities. And they have to see the passion that you have in order for them to show up and spend money at your event. And the truth is, not everybody is.
I can remember coming down there, and we were sitting with a whole table full of people. And the first thing we talked about was building a team. I think that the most important part in the beginning is building a team. What did you learn, like, after you started talking to your friends? I mean, you've got 500,000 followers on Instagram. What did you learn about your team as you progressed through it?
The biggest thing I learned was not everybody cared as much as I did. And to be honest with you, we all go in with that misconception of saying that, hey, because I care, everybody should care. The truth is, they don't. And that's okay. That's okay. It's to be expected. As long as you know that they're not going to care as much as you do, and you're able to push through that roof of negativity or whatever you want to call it and keep moving, you'll be okay. But realize that it's going to be super stressful, but super fun at the same time. So I think that, and you told me from the beginning, you need a team, you need a team, you need a team. And the truth is, you do need a team. And most people do. If you understand that they're not going to do everything that you're doing, and you just keep moving and make up the difference and just kind of shuck off the fact that, for lack of better words, they don't care like you, I think you'll be okay.
We were talking recently, actually yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only person, in fact, after I talk to you, I think you're going to know what I'm going to talk about. You're literally, I got off the phone with you after talking to you about your event and before your event happened. And I said, quote, if half of my clients had the guts, or some other term, had the guts that you have to say the things that you said to people, our events would be so much more different. So much different. That's horrible words. Mm-hmm. So much different. They would be much more successful. Let's talk about the guts that you had when you were approaching people about being a part of your event, sponsoring, coming. Tell everybody about that, what you did, because it takes
time. Yeah, I mean, I realized real quick that I had to be prepared to lose friends, followers, or whatever you want to call them, and just call people out and say, listen, if you're not willing to support me in the important times, then just go ahead and unfollow. Don't call me, don't text me, and it's okay if we're not friends. And that's the truth. And you know what? I've realized, honestly, this event and talking to you about this event has really, really helped me learn that it's okay to call people out on their stuff. And what I mean by that is when I'm doing the event, this event was super important to me, and it's still super important to me. It was okay for me to realize that some people weren't going to respond, or they were going to say yes, and really their yes was a no. So I just flat out got on Instagram and Facebook, and I said, listen, if you follow me for everything else, but you're not willing to support this, then just unclick and unfollow.
That took a lot of guts. I remember a conversation with your realtor, a car dealership that you were saying those things to. And listen, I'll go to a lot of my clients and I'll tell them about your story, and everybody's afraid to upset people. But the problem is if these people who depend on you, when you depend on them, aren't willing to support you, but they expect your support to them, then what good are they? Right.
Don't you think that? That's the truth. That's the truth. If I'm spending hundreds of thousands of dollars at your dealership or sending you clients that are spending millions in real estate or whatever the case is, because I really truly believe that if you're my friend and I'm your friend, I should be supporting you. I don't ask for discounts. I just want to send people your way. Do the same for me when I ask you for help.
Right. And like one of the things that we go through, like as I'm telling people, I think I even told you this. I said, do as a charity. And I did this in San Antonio. I've done this all over the country. I'll go into it. For instance, we're getting ready to help the Plumpton Park Zoo in Cecil County. It's where we live. And
I'm excited about that.
It's going to be really a great event. They're raising money for their operations, and they've got a giraffe, and it's going to be really cool. It's being held in Delaware. May 31st, that's a plug, the Safari Soiree for the Plumpton Park Zoo.
So, Safari Soiree, that's pretty cool.
Safari Soiree. So believe me, I went through 1,000 names before we picked that because I couldn't, like the Zootopia. And
I like it. Safari Soiree.
Yeah.
Say it 3 times. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Say it 3 times. So I said to them, and I did this with another charity a long time ago in San Antonio called Soldiers Angels. They were having a problem getting their sponsors. And I told them, I said, do me a favor. Tell me who you pay. Get your checkbook. Get your accountant or whoever handles your accounts payable or whatever. Get your checkbook and start telling me who you're paying each month or quarterly or whatever, however you pay them. Who are you paying the most? Well, they did. And like you did this. You did it with everybody in your personal life. You know, Lexus dealer. You do it with realtors. And it worked out like a charm for you. I'm really proud of you for that.
Thank you.
So they went down. So we're sitting there, and I flew down in San Antonio just to sit at their board table and sit down with their entire board. They got it out, and they started making phone calls. And I think in a matter of 18 minutes, they raised like $83,000 just from doing that in sponsorships. But it took a lot of guts for you to do that. I think that the biggest thing that I want to take out of this is, from just what you're saying right now, is the importance of building a team. That's extremely important. And a team means people who are going to help you sell tickets, get donations, and get sponsorships pre-event. Now, if you're going to do an event without us, they also need to come in and work the event. We'll get into that into another podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So getting those people. And then the problem is a lot of the times I tell people all the time, please vet your team. Make sure they're in it to win it. The problem is what you did, and this is why what me harping on you, and this is what I do with harping on a lot of people, a lot of our clients, you then, like, once you realized that you didn't have any help, you said, like, just yesterday, you kicked it into second gear and kicked it into overdrive. And we mm-hmm. have an example of that. So,
yeah.
Example of that that just happened a month or so ago. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the other event in Georgia. Yeah. Exactly. A person that we both know and I talked to several times and even tried to inspire him and give him the same information that I did, saying quite simply, make people care and tell them don't be afraid to lose friends and family or whatever over this. It's got to be if it's important to you, it has to be important to other people. And if it's not important to them, then they're not important to you.
Right. So, okay. So as you progress through all the way up to pre-event, what did you learn both good and bad from the pre-event, the planning? What did you think were going out and doing things, getting sponsors, donations, mm-hmm. and things like that?
I mean, I learned a lot. I learned not only what needed to be included in conversations when you're talking to people about sponsorship. I learned what wasn't needed to be included as well. It's a really important conversation with so many charities out there, and these people are reaching out to these companies daily. Especially shout out to Sheehy Lexus of Annapolis. They were my biggest sponsor. I love those guys. What's very important in talking to, you know, potential sponsors is making sure that they understand, again, how important it is to you and reminding them that, hey, listen, I'm coming to your business and spending money. I'm sending people your way. You know, I'm not out here taking your money. I don't want you to just give me money, but I want you to donate towards this cause that is super important to me, super important to my heart. And then as well as being able to offer something to them. You have to listen. When you're talking to sponsors, you have to listen to them because a no is not always a no. It's just a different direction to a yes. You know, for instance, with Sheehy, I said, hey, listen, I love you guys. You know, I spent a lot of money with you guys. This is super important to me. What can I do to get you to this event? You know, I know you guys have some new cars out. Can we put some cars in front of the event? Well, let's do that. Let's put a sticker. And selling them on your idea. Hey, listen, we're going to have 300 to 500 to 1,000 people at this event. Those are people that may not live in your area and know about your Lexus dealership. They're all going to walk by your sign. I'm giving you free customer service. I mean, free customers. Your ROI on this is going to be tenfold, or could be. So it's super important to sell them on your idea.
What you said right there, their ROI. I tell our clients this all the time that, you know, a lot of people don't know is, or a lot of people think that it's all about the charity. Like, you're going to donate to my charity. We're an island amongst ourselves. You're going to sponsor my charity. You're going to cut a big check to my charity. But they don't know that there's truly 5 million registered U.S. nonprofits in the United States. Most of them have chapters. So if you, and this is like ASPCA, NAACP, Ducks Unlimited. If you take all the chapters and all the sub-chapters, all the charities, all the sub-chapters, and then you take the benefit events, like what you held was a benefit event,
mm-hmm.
you're up against about 20 million charity people, groups out there. Let's just say every group, 20 million, every group is 10 people. So what is that? 200 million people out there trying to raise money every year. What you have to understand is these people are bombarded on a daily basis, ask for donations. And I know that for a fact because I've come to you on plenty of times and said, could you donate to one of our events? That's how we met, in fact, right? The Road Dog Rumble. So what they have to understand, if correct me if I'm wrong, is that they have to be sold on the event and what their return on investment, their ROI is going to be, what their exposure is going to be. And especially with you, with the amount of the exposure they have through Instagram, through your reach, the exposure they have, the advertisement they're going to have, that's the key to the that's the key to getting a sponsorship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
So it's like, you know, everybody, so there's a million veterans events out there, right? There's a lot of veterans events out there. How do you differentiate the two? Everybody's got their favorite charity. So you got to get to these sponsors. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. You got to get to these sponsors and tell them, listen, this is what we're going to be doing. This is what we're doing with the money. But here's the draw. Like, you had an incredible DJ, very well known. I remember saying it's spin the ones and twos, and I had to ask you what that meant. You had an incredible event at an incredible venue, right?
Yeah.
And we had a lot of people there, and your sponsors got an enormous amount of advertisement. Am I right or am I wrong?
100%. And also, you know, you can very much liken an event like this, or an event like you're going to throw with George. And by the way, don't throw an event if it's not with George and his company. I'm telling you, and it's not just a shameless plug. It's because I know from experience.
Thank you.
But you have to also understand and really liken the event to you as a business, right? And I tell people in business, and I won't go down a big yellow brick road on this, but in business, unless you're creating something from thin air, somebody else is already doing it. So you have that's your product. Everybody has that product. The difference is the commodity. You're the commodity. People come back to the business because it's you, because you're treating them right and you're doing things right. The same thing with this. There's a million and millions and millions of charities, right? You have to make it important to those people and make them love you. And once they love you, they'll love whatever's behind you. It doesn't matter if there's a brick wall in front of me, I don't care what's behind it as long as you're selling me on that brick wall.
Right. Absolutely. So at the end, in summary, at the end of the day, all in, all done, tax title tags on the road, out the door. Like they love to say this about, with, I always say, winner, winner, chicken dinner. All in, all done. That's another one of my auctioneer sayings.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn with the whole experience? What do you think you learned the most? What was the biggest takeaway from it?
I think the biggest takeaway is that when you're doing an event like this, make sure that you talk to professionals about it, because you're going to be on an island all by yourself in thinking this and trying to do something. And more importantly, do your research. And you know, one thing that I learned after the fact, and I probably would have did differently, is when you get your team, be very clear on direction, what you want them to do, and make sure that they do it, because you have to be held accountable and you have to hold people accountable. And the same conversation we talked about when I was on Instagram and Facebook and all that, telling people I was willing to lose friends and family, be willing to do the same thing with people and say, listen, if you don't have the stomach for this, tell me right now, because I really need you. And if you're not going to do it, we have to separate business and personal here and go and take a step to the left.
That's really great. That's in closing, what I want to say is this, I can't tell you how many times people would say, they'll call me and ask me, okay, what do you charge or whatever else? And they'll think they'll raise more money without having to pay somebody. Well, in reality, the largest charities in the country all have paid employees. They have paid fundraisers, just like me, paid fundraisers. They do this, they do that. And because they're willing to take risk, you know, spend money to make money. A lot of the smaller charities, especially the ones that love to say, and I can't stand hearing people say this because it sends the wrong message. We're 100% volunteer. We have no paid staff. That, you know what that does? Charlie, you know what that does? That tells the big, that would be like you, me saying, oh, I do my business out of a closet in my house, and I'm in the same 2A space as you, the Second Amendment, for everybody listening. I do it out of my home, and I have all my stuff in a closet. Well, you've got a warehouse, you know, you've got a whole bunch of offices. You're all over the country. So when people say, by the way, we're 100% volunteer and all of our money goes to the mission, great. However, in order to be very big, to do a lot of things, you need employees, you need help. So I appreciate you saying that. And we're here to help anybody, even if it's a phone call, some advice, but I really appreciate you, that plug that you said it, because
it's the truth. Not just because we know each other, it's the truth. If you guys are looking to do any kind of charity event, and even yesterday I was talking to somebody about your business and past events, you have to reach out to professionals. And if you Google, George is the only one. So make sure you reach out to him.
Thank you, brother. Well, Charlie, I appreciate your time. Thanks a million. I know you're a busy man. It's getting ready to be Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, too.
Tell your family to say the same thing, and I'll be down here in a couple days. I've got some things to bring down to you. I really appreciate your time, and I'll see you later.
Thank you.
All right, brother.